Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Plain Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 16, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just really don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Please do that. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly. If you go to prophecyhour.com, you scroll down on the right and you'll see an asteroid hitting the earth with an angel blowing a trumpet, and it'll say End Time Radio Archives. If you click on that, that'll take you to branch.podomatic.com. And at that site, they even have a couple of apps that you can download to your cell phone, depending on what kind of smartphone that you have. But both sites, prophecyhour.com and the branch.podomatic.com, are very smartphone friendly. In fact, you really don't even need an app to just go there and listen, which you can either download the programs or just play and hear them stream to you. Now a prayer, and we'll start tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth in these final hours before your son's return. And please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, when the Arab Spring started, I felt that we needed to let you know in another form of manner, or a more harsher manner, that the end time alarm needed to really get louder. At that time, we added the sound of the shofar, the blast, to begin at the first of the program to wake you up, to say, wake up, wake up, the time is here. Since then, all around the Middle East and the Euphrates River, which is mentioned for the time of the end, there's been battles and struggles as the nations are realigning themselves to attack Israel, whether you realize it or not. Islamists predict that in this year, 2015, or in next year, 2016, that their Mahdi, their Savior, will reappear. And many of you know that have listened to this program for a while, that their Mahdi does almost mirror the Antichrist. They believe that there's supposed to be an apocalyptic war going on, and that'll be a war with the people of the book. And you know who the people of the book are. That's the Jews and the Christians. Well, you know, a few years later, they believe their version of Jesus will come back and reappear to behead people that don't accept Islam. Most people in the West ignore these events as it's not affected them. Will all the Christians be, with all the Christians out there being beheaded for Yeshua in the Middle East, they still don't warm the people as they wait on fables, things like Left Behind and so on and so forth, to come to pass with a European Antichrist. That's just not going to happen. Now the Islamic State has been found with staging areas just 8 miles from the Mexican border. They've been planning a major attack, or rather many attacks, inside the U.S., say, on air bases and even power grids, it's been discovered. They're in a place where cartels are guarding them. And so Mexican police, that's what I'm trying to say. The Mexican police, they don't want to go down there. Neither does the Mexican military. And there was even a meeting today about what to do about it. I don't think there's much they will do about it. Soon, ISIS, they say, the word came out today too, that ISIS is set to announce an expansion into the Gaza Strip. You know that place that's down there with Israel where the Palestinians are? Folks, so much is coming. We are faced with total economic collapse worldwide. I believe that. And I believe it's coming soon. As many people talk about, bubbles are out ready to burst. And I also read that there's an asteroid that's headed to hit the Earth in 2017. Funny thing about that article that I read, in the article, the first of it, it says, well, it will just graze the Earth or just go by the Earth. And then at the last of the article, it says, well, they don't know where it's going to hit on the Earth. And it's the size of the Statue of Liberty that will cause great devastation. Folks, hear the cry. Hear the blast of the shofar. Get yourself ready because it comes.
I say, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know. Says they're walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Soon they'll lose their souls and they don't know. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job. I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro. A burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know. Now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. Vineyard ripe, the field is white, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know.
Well, folks, Rabbi Zev Porat was supposed to be on with us right now, but you know, we got a message from him at the bottom, well, about 45 minutes ago, and he's, you know, sick. He's running a fever, and so he couldn't be on. He really wanted to be. We'll have him back on in a couple of weeks. We'll arrange a time with him so he can get his message out. And he has some really interesting information. But I'm going to say a prayer for him now. And if you folks that are listening live, if you want to go along with my prayer, agree with me. So we'll lift Rabbi Zev up real quick. Your Heavenly Father and Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I ask that you just, we lift up Rabbi Zev and all the work that he is doing. Father, I just ask that you just bless him and take away his sickness and make his fever go down. But just bless him, Father, this night. And because you are the divine healer, so we ask for your healing in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen. Well, that song you heard was from Brother Ben, a fellow that I knew way back in the 90s. And he had a band called Remnant, the End Time Band, and he did a newsletter, and he had a program on shortwave. It was one of the reasons that that I wanted to go on shortwave at the time. But he did a program called 70th Week Magazine, and he warned about the end times and places of preparation. And in fact, he's still in his place of preparation. But I pray maybe one of these days we'll have him on and talk about his music. But if you'd like a CD, you know, Brother Benny, I've got a whole CD that he said that years ago. He sent it to me. He said, here, use this to further your ministry any way that you wish. But if you would want a CD of that end time music, I would gladly give you a CD. I ask that you make a donation to cover costs. It costs for the CD and it costs for me to mail it to you, because we just, not like a lot of ministries, because we don't sell anything. We don't have the extra money just to mail them out free and all that. And I'm not going to do one of those things. Say, well, if you want to be a partner with us, then, you know, like if you want to be blessed by this music, send a few bucks to cover the cost of it, you know. Call me and ask me about it, and we'll work it out. Anyway, tonight, earlier, we did a program with Kenneth Upgrove, and he's the one that lives in the mountains called Ark Haven. He has a ministry called Ark Haven Ministry. And I prayed about it. I didn't know what I was going to do tonight. And we were last program, we were talking about this vision by Sarah Hoffman. And we said that if anybody emailed us or something, we would give them a copy of this vision that she was given that we were talking about. But I think it's an important vision, and so I'm just going to try and struggle through and read it to you in such a manner so let's bless this. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this reading in Yeshua's name. So this is a vision we were talking about in the last program. Sarah Hoffman, she actually committed suicide in 1979. But she was told she had to come back and finish her earth life, but first she was shown the end of the world. This panoramic view of the earth came into view, and then it came closer and closer, like I had been out in space and was flying towards us. Now this is Sarah talking. I knew that this was to help me make my decision to go back to earth, my terrible life, because part of me wanted to go back to the beautiful spirit world or paradise, and part of me felt the need to go back to my body and change my life. It was kind of a tug of war, and I was going to see was to help me understand, and I would go through if I went back to my clay body. It played out again, just like a videotape in fast forward motion, and yet again I would assimilate and see everything clearly and perfectly as the world zoomed up to me. I saw the whole world and then the various countries. I don't know the countries of the world very well, but as I looked into these lands, I instinctively knew the countries they were. I was looking at the Middle East and watched as a missile flew from Libya and hit Israel with a big mushroom cloud. I knew the missile was actually from Iran, but the people from Iran had been hiding it in Libya and fired it. I knew that it was a nuclear bomb. Almost immediately, missiles started flying from one country to another, quickly spreading to all over the world. I also saw that many nuclear explosions did not come from the missiles, but from ground bombs of some kind. I knew in the future there would be nuclear war throughout the world, and this is how it would start. Then my focus changed from the Middle East to America. I understood that what I was about to see, some of the things that would lead up to the nuclear holocaust that I had just witnessed. As I looked at the continent of the North America, I zeroed in on the East Coast and then the New York, and I saw New York with all of its buildings and people. And then I saw some tall buildings crashing to the earth with tremendous smoke, derbis and dust, debris and dust everywhere. World Trade Tower, is somebody put in parentheses? Question mark. I saw a woman holding a little girl's hand running from the crashing buildings. The lady had long, dark hair past her shoulders, curled inward a little. She had on a beige business suit, heels of a slightly darker color, and perhaps a tan color, no glasses. The little girl appeared to be about 6 or 7 years old, with short brown hair below the chin and sort of a pageboy haircut. They were running together, holding hands, running from the falling buildings in the heavy smoke and the dust, and they were forced to let go of hands, and therefore they got separated. The little girl was terrified, and I could hear the little girl screaming, "Mommy, Mommy," over and over again. I don't know if they lived or died. I can still see the face of the lady clearly and could identify her if I saw a picture or could describe to her, to an artist, to draw her. I asked if an earthquake caused the buildings to fall down, and the impression was no, but I don't know what caused them to fall. The next thing I felt more than I saw was shortly after this, there was no commerce, no shopping, buying, and was impressed that there was no economy. The economy had almost failed completely, and no one had any money. The next thing I saw was people being sick and dying. I saw this particularly in four cities, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Salt Lake. The disease started by having white blisters and some the size of dimes appear on their hands, arms, and face. They quickly developed into white puffy sores and blisters. They would stumble about and fall, and then many died within a short time, maybe 24 hours. I also saw other people with blood coming from their nose, their mouth, their eyes, and their ears. It started like a flu virus, and it spread very quickly, faster than the other white blister disease. The people who had this disease died even faster. This was more widespread across the entire United States, and there were hundreds of thousands of people stricken with these two diseases. I knew that the diseases, and there were several different kinds, but the first, primarily these two, came from small containers that had been brought into the United States. These containers were like quart jars, and I was impressed that people carrying them would just drop them on the ground in large crowds of people, and the people would become infected without realizing it. In these cities, as the disease spread, the people tried to flee from the cities out to the countryside. There was complete chaos in these cities and a breakdown of normal society. There was no electricity in them either, but I don't know why or how that came to be. But there were cars piled up everywhere, blocking roadways, and most of the people had to walk out with nothing. The disease started to spread beyond these initial cities. As the people were fleeing the cities, there were gangs attacking them and killing them. In the cities that were struck with the disease, there was complete chaos, looting, rioting, murdering, a complete breakdown. Many people seemed to go absolutely crazy. I sensed that the electricity had failed everywhere now, and that nothing was running, and there was no communication or anything anywhere in the country. Nothing worked, no radios or TVs. I watched people throw rocks and break windows to steal TVs, which I thought was really crazy because they couldn't work. There was no electricity. Immediately as I watched this happen in the United States, I jumped back to the Middle East and saw the same thing in Israel, the same sores, and I realized it was the same types of disease or sicknesses happening there. I knew somehow whatever diseases had been used in the United States was also being used in Israel. This lasted for only an instant, and I was back in the United States. There was a tremendously long winter that lasted into summer. It caught everyone by surprise and started the full famine. Actually, I realized the long winter actually just increased the famine greatly to its full measure because the famine had already been in the progress because of the storms, droughts, floods, and other plagues that had been happening in a few years leading up to the long winter. It seemed that the year following the long winter was when everything started to go downhill very quickly, or things piled up on one on top of another without any breaks. The sense of time, though it was not very clear because I was seeing several things that seemed to happen all at the same time or very close together. During and after the long winter, the disease spread everywhere and increased in severity. The economy was completely gone. The electricity was also gone. There was complete chaos and anarchy all over the United States. There was no government, just a total breakdown. There was no food at all. I saw people trying to get food, and they were completely panicked because there was no food. I saw people digging in the ground for worms and eating them because they were so hungry. Also, during this time, I became aware that there was very little water, and almost all the water had become poisoned, so that if a person drank the water, they would get the disease and die. Many did, even knowing that they would die because they were so thirsty. Some of the people seemed to go crazy and went around in gangs and killing people just for the sake of killing. Others killed for food or for things, but the people who killed just to kill were absolutely terrible. They seemed like beasts, animals completely out of control as they raped, looted, burned, and butchered people. I saw them go into people's home and drag families out who were hiding there and rape and butcher them. Let me stop here for a second, folks. You know, with total breakdown, do you think about that? A lot of people complain about the police, but if you know you all of a sudden you had no police, you know, what would you have? Do you think that all of these people that are bad people now that the police hold back, you know, the criminals, the gangs, you think that just because their trouble comes and the police aren't going to be there that all of a sudden that it's going to, they're going to be good people all of a sudden? No, this vision, that's why it's so strong to me, because this is what I see with the breakdown of society, no matter what the reason, whether it's an economic collapse or disease or what, and the police go home to protect their own families, you know, and the same with the military, then what are you going to have but these gangs roving everywhere and people pocketing together and trying to defend themselves? But I say to you that the only kind of thing that is going to help you is going to be that personal relationship, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. That is the only thing that's going to save you in a day of trouble, is to be in His will. And then I believe that He will provide for you. But first, you have to be in His will. Now, we're going to, in the second part of this program, I'm going to read the rest of this, and then we're going to talk. But you be blessed, folks, and you make sure you visit prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Studies
have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, I generally talk about the missing church at this point and ask for your prayers and donations. Tonight, while I am talking about the warning message, we want to try, you know, we try to tell you the truth just as very, very closely as I can or as I feel led to. You know, I don't try to please you or tickle your ears. That's not my point of the radio program. I try to only please the Father. And yes, he is your Father. And you should have told us to call him that. And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have a relationship with him like he's your Father. Because he is your Father. He chastises you when you do things wrong. And he rewards you when you do things right. So, you know, that's how you should pray to him. But he's placed it on my heart to warn you. And I have been doing warning in many different ways. We did an end-time radio program, of course, for many years. But we've also did a mail-out newsletter, which I haven't been able to get out lately. But that newsletter has been going for over 17 or 18 years. Radio, we've been doing since 2001. And then when AVR came around, we got on AVR when it first started. I don't remember what year that was. But to you, radio is free. You know, most people think radio, well, that's free. But it cost us to pay for satellite radio airtime as well as internet costs. Radio really isn't not free. And, you know, we do many hours of research to find you the right guest and to place breaking news at prophecyhour.com. And if a lot of you didn't know that, if you want the breaking news mostly every day, you go to prophecyhour.com and it's posted there, the link to the latest news around the world. And so I want you to check that out and share it with others. But we do need your support. So pray about making a one-time donation or maybe a monthly donation. We do need your support. If you enjoy this radio program or it's being a blessing to you, pray about supporting it because we really do need your help. I mean, we don't sell anything. We're a ministry. We don't sell books. We don't sell tapes. All we have is to ask you to support us. And that's how we survive. That's how this program survives. And that's how the Wichita Mission Church survives. And so pray about it. Really, we do need your support. And, you know, the Mission Church as well. You know, over at the Mission Church, we're the last hope for so many. And, folks, remember, we are all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all of that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com, or call me if you need to at 620-878-4682. Now this. The Lord is in control. The Lord Yeshua is in control. I mean, that is such a comforting song, no matter how bad it gets. He is in control. But you have to be in His will. You have to do the right things, you know. You need to have a relationship. Well, I believe so many out there are, you know, they're saved, but they really don't have what you'd call a personal relationship. And that's what you need to go in. If you want to be safe in this time of trouble, that indeed is what you need. Now, I'm going to finish this vision that we had talked about in Mission Watch earlier tonight, and I did the first half in the first half of this program tonight, and I'm going to do give you the rest of this dream and vision, and we'll see if my voice holds out. So pray for my voice. Anyway, Father, please give people understanding. There was such a fear and hatred that came upon the peoples. Families, wives, husbands, loving ties no longer mattered. It became survival only. Husbands would kill their wives and children for food or water. Mothers would kill their children. It was absolutely horrible beyond description. The air seemed to be filled with smoke as many buildings and cities burned, and no one put them out. As I looked upon the scenes of chaos, destruction, and smoke, I noticed that there were little pockets of light scattered all over the United States. There were, I would guess, about 20 or 30 of them, and I had noted most of these places of light were in the western part of the United States, with three or four, only three or four in the east. Well, praise the Father. You know, I've always known that there's pockets of people and places around the country. You know, I've been doing this for a very long time, way back in the 90s, and I had people that contacted me, and I'd heard about places where people had moved to the mountains because they were prepared to feed the people that were coming up the Rocky Mountains from California, bloody and burnt and half burnt up, you know, from what had happened in the calamity of California. And they were there waiting years and years and years, generations, so that they would be able to care for the people that the Father had placed them there to do. So where are these pockets? I believe that if you're not there now, that He will lead you there, that even Dimitri Dudeman had a dream where a vision where there was angels guarding people in these kinds of places, in specific in between two rivers. These places, and now I'm back to the dream, these places of light seemed to shine through the darkness and caught my attention. So I concentrated on it and asking, what are these things? I could then see that they were people who had gathered together and were on their knees and they were praying. The light was coming from them, and I understood that it represented their goodness and love, and I understood that they gathered together for safety and that they cared more for each other than for themselves. That's the meaning of love, folks. If I say I love you, that means I care more about you than me. That's what Yeshua was. It's agape love. Some of the groups were small, with only 100 people or so, but there were other groups where there seemed several thousand. I realized that somehow many, if not most, of these cities of light had been established just before the disease attack, and they were very organized. It was like they had known what was coming and had prepared for it. I didn't see who or what had organized them, but I saw many people struggling to get to them with nothing but what they could carry. These cities of light had food and were sharing their food, and with those who joined them in their groups. There was peace and safety in the groups. They were living in tents, all kinds of tents, many of which were just blankets covering poles. I noticed that the gangs left these groups alone, choosing to pick on easier targets of unprotected people. They preyed on the people who were trying to get to the cities of light. Many people in these cities of light had guns to defend themselves with, and so the gangs left them alone, but it seemed that the gangs didn't want to come against them. I realized these cities of light, which is what I began to think of them, were only for a short time. Then the people in them would go somewhere else, however. I don't know where, but they went, and I seemed to think that they gathered to the mountains, to the high places. As I was looking at the cities of light, I then saw missiles coming and hitting some cities, and mushroom clouds started happening all over the United States. Some were from missiles, and I knew that some came from Russia, and others were not from missiles, but were from bombs that were already in the United States. They were hidden in trucks and cars and were exploded. You know, we've heard reports of these before, of suitcase nuclear bombs. Anyway, I specifically saw Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and New York hit with bombs. Those are some of the cities that Dimitri Dudeman saw blown up anyway. New York was hit with a missile, but I think that Los Angeles was hit by a truck bomb, or actually several, because I didn't see any missile. Also saw north of Salt Lake City have a mushroom cloud, a small one, but no missile. In the darkness, I also saw little fireballs. I don't know if this happened just before or during the mushroom clouds, but there were millions falling everywhere. They were very hot, of different sizes, and most about the size of golf balls. And as they fell from the sky, they left a streak of flame and smoke behind them. Whatever they touched, they started on fire. People, buildings, trees, grass, it didn't matter. I didn't ask what they were or where they came from, because by this time I was getting sick of the whole scene, and I just observed and didn't ask many questions. Almost right on top of these mushroom clouds, I saw Russian troops invading the United States. I saw them parachuting in a lot of places, primarily from the East Coast. I saw them parachute into Salt Lake City. I also saw Chinese troops invade from the West Coast near Los Angeles. The people who were still alive started fighting them with their own guns. I didn't see any military. This was the nuclear war that I had seen earlier, and I knew that it was happening all over the world like I had seen previously. I did not see much of this war, but I was impressed that it was not very long, and the Russian and Chinese lose, but I don't know how exactly. Now the smoke turned into a very thick, heavy, dark smoke. just as things appear to be bad as it could get, the earthquakes happen. This happened during a winter. It seemed that this was the winter following the very long one, and the chaos had been almost for a full year. The earthquake seems to start in the west around Idaho and Wyoming and then spread everywhere. Excuse me, folks. I saw a huge earthquake strike Utah and then California. There were earthquakes all over California, but they were especially devastating in Los Angeles and San Francisco areas. These earthquakes triggered volcanoes all over the West. They started spewing a tremendous amount of ash and smoke into the air, and the air became very dark and dirty. Excuse me. The sun was darkened, and even more because of the smoke and the ash that started raining down everywhere. I also saw huge waves of water sweep over the West Coast. Then I realized that it was happening all over the coastal cities of the entire world. Los Angeles was almost completely swept away. The waves were huge. I saw a big wall of water taller than many of the buildings, perhaps as high as 20 feet, sweep over Salt Lake City. I thought this was strange because it was so far from the ocean, and I thought, how could a wave from the ocean travel all the way to Salt Lake City? And I was impressed that it was not from the ocean, but from the ground. I quickly saw great cracks in the earth around Salt Lake City open up, and water just shot out of the ground. I felt that under the ground, very deep, there was a tremendous amount of water in the ground, and the earthquakes forced it up to the surface. When the water swept over the city, there weren't very many buildings left. In fact, there was a tremendous destruction with hardly anything left at all, just a few buildings. The water went from Idaho down to Cedar City, and that was very bad. In the cities, there was a great destruction. Most of the buildings have been destroyed, and there was a lot of rubble. Through the earthquakes, disease, floods, volcanoes, tidal waves, killed a lot of people. Most people had died because of the gangs and everyone killing each other, not from the terrible devastations. As I thought a moment about it, it seemed that the earth itself had become sickened at the terrible things that were happening upon it and was finally reacting. I was impressed that the earth wanted to cleanse itself of the terrible chaos and the evil that had engulfed the people. Because of the volcanoes erupting everywhere, there was now ash mixed with heavy smoke. Ash was falling, and it was almost complete darkness everywhere. The diseases have become very bad. I saw people literally die on their feet. There was another disease I saw, but they had these red blotches on them, and then they quickly started bleeding everywhere. From every opening, then they literally disintegrated or melted into unrecognizable masses of flesh and bone. I cannot even begin to describe what I saw. The dead was everywhere. After this terrible winter, I saw the survivors pile up the dead into huge piles and burn them. The smell was absolutely terrible. I could smell it just a little, and the smell itself would make you sick. This burning of bodies and happening a little and had happened a little during the chaos, but not much because of the people were so worried about surviving, they just ignored the dead. Then I saw four more things. I saw a huge earthquake in the middle of the United States. It was tremendous and seemed to split the United States in half. About where the Mississippi River is, the crack in the earth that resulted was huge, and that area totally sinks. It is miles wide, and it opens up, and the earth falls down. It seemed like to swallow everything. Then water flowed in from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to the Great Lakes, only they weren't lakes anymore. They became all part of a big inland sea. Then I saw a series of tremendous earthquakes all over the world, but it wasn't lots of separate earthquakes. It was all part of one huge, gigantic earthquake that shakes the entire earth. Because of this earthquake, waters come upon the land all over the world, huge walls of water along all of the coast. This earthquake and the walls of water make the earlier ones seem small by comparison. I don't know if the earthquake that split the United States in two parts was part of this worldwide quake or not. Then I saw a tremendous wind come upon the earth. As the wind hit, I saw people go into caves and into the cracks of rocks to scrape it. Remember in the Bible how it says, for people went in and tried to hide themselves? Anyway, it was tremendous and blew trees and everything away. It appeared to be stronger than any hurricane or tornado. It seemed like everything was blown away. I understood without asking that the great worldwide earthquake and the wind were somehow caused by a huge object, like a planet or something. Could that be wormwood? Like a planet or something that had come very close by the earth and disrupted everything, and that it was very, and it was near the end that this happened. I was then back into space viewing the entire earth from a distance, and I saw this huge fireball, two times bigger than the earth, approach the earth. It was extremely bright red and gold in color, and then engulfed the entire earth. When I saw this, because it was so different than anything else, I didn't ask, what was this? I was impressed that it was the burning of the earth that is described in the scriptures. I understood that just that it comes just before Yeshua, they say Jesus, I say Yeshua, had appeared to the earth, and the good people that I had seen earlier had left the earth with him and were no longer on the earth. The only people who were left were the few wicked ones that had survived the devastations earlier, but they were not many. I think that in that part there's a prophecy gap with her because Yeshua, there's a 1,000-year reign of Yeshua on earth, which is the millennial kingdom. And after that, it talks about then there was a new heaven and a new earth, and that's after the 1,000 years, for the old heaven and the old earth had been, you know, had passed away, were burned up, had passed away. So pray about this vision. Go back and listen to the programs that we did on Arkhaven, you know. So, you know, really just pray about it. That's what I want you to do. I just feel that the warning message needs to go out. You need to get your household in order. Do I believe it's coming today, next week, next month, next year? What? I don't know. I do believe because we look through a glass darkly with prophecy because, you know, the Bible is a book that, you know, it really was written to the Middle Eastern people. It was written to the Jewish people. And we try to look at it through Western eyes. That's just natural for us to do that. But so we don't get the scripture as the same as, you know, we miss a lot because we try to centralize everything about the United States as being the center of prophecy. And it's just not. Israel is the center of prophecy. In fact, when Yeshua returns, we know that there's going to be things left because it said he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. That's where he's going to touch down at. He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. So we know he's coming back. If you read about what the prophet says, it actually says that Yeshua will go out and he will punish the people that have came against Israel. That's what he talks about, you know. So you need to study the prophets also. Don't just, all of your Bible prophecy just can't be in, I call it the summary of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is just a summary of the prophecies. If you go back, and read what Isaiah said, if you read about Gog and Magog and Ezekiel, read all Jeremiah, read all these different prophecies because you'll see another picture. Don't take my word for it. Don't take men's word for it. But take, if you have that personal relationship with Yeshua and you pray about it before you read and then you read, and then I challenge you to do this. Instead of being like people, you know, and I'm not picking on people that replace things, but so many people tend to, when they read the Bible, they say, oh, well, this here is America and when it says a totally different country, try when you read the Bible, reading it, the countries that it is for the countries. And then another challenge, get you an ancient map of the ancient lands and compare it with a modern day map so that you'll see what countries are talking about. And I think that would leave you pretty well shocked. Joel Richardson is very good on these things. You ought to get his book about the Jews. About when a Jew rules the world. There's another really good book out. It's called Escaping the Great Deception by Derek Frank. Now, they sent me his tape and book, the DVD. There's a DVD that goes along with this. It's a movie. And Derek is going to be on our programs within the next couple of weeks, I think. And if you Google him, you'll find him on He's been on some other programs, some really popular ones. I think he's been on Jim Baker. I know he's been on with Sid Roth. But even, you know, there's some in the movie, there's some, and it's about replacement theology, but it has people like Kevin Sorbo in the movie. It has a lot of other well-known actors that you would recognize in this movie. So you need to get the movie, too. I just don't have it in front of me. I know what it is. It's called Let the Lion Roar. It's called Let the Lion Roar. And so we'll be talking about that within the next couple of weeks. And so, like I say, let's go back to this. Folks, I really need you. You're hearing me tonight. I really need you to pray about supporting Radio Airtime. Usually I'm asking you for everything for the Mission Church, which we do really need your help there, too, very badly. But radio people, like I said earlier, people seem to think, well, radio is just free. You know, it's as simple as that. They think radio's free. Well, radio isn't free. It costs money to be on here and be on the air to warn you folks. It costs money for the equipment. It costs money for everything here. I'm not getting rich off radio. You know, it'd be different if I was selling something, but I have nothing to sell you. The Father put it on my heart to warn you, and that's why I'm here on radio. I'm trying to warn you because I want you to be ready. I want you to get saved, and be ready for that time of trouble that's coming upon the whole world. And so I want you to be ready. And so we warn you. And that's what this radio program is about. And, you know, it's not to please you and, you know, or to make you mad, but it's to get you ready for that time that's coming. And so I really need you to pray about supporting radio airtime. You can donate online. You can mail a check or money order. Do a one-time donation or tell us that you're going to make a pledge to donate so much a month or a week. If you go to prophecyhour.com and scroll down to where it says support us, you can even find a link to a place where you can set up automatic payments if you want to use your credit card. In case you're like one fellow that told me, well, I donate whenever I remember. Well, you know, if you're honest and you want about wanting to donate every week or every month, you can set up those automatic payments through PayPal. So that's a good thing. Pray about the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we help a lot of people. We've helped thousands upon thousands of people. And you know, we need lots of things. King James Version Bibles. We need those large print Bibles. We need donations for food. And we do have enough clothing to give out right now, but we could always use more. But pray about it. And, you know, where was Yeshua at? Let me ask you that. Where was Yeshua at? Was he among the rich or among the poor? Where did he go out to? Did he live his life with a roof over his head, or was he out among the people? I want you to think about that. You know, we're there among the sinners. That's where we're at. Why would we? That's where we need to be at. I know everyone can't do it, but we're doing it. And so we ask that you support us in our effort, you know. And that's what the Father's looking for. You know, people don't know anything about sacrifice. You know, they say, well, you should have sacrificed and did it all. Well, he's also looking for living sacrifices from you. When you get born again, you are supposed to make a sacrifice. That is the sacrifice of your old life dying and then letting Yeshua live through you. And so then you're that crucified person that you allow Yeshua to live through you, and your old life and the things of this world aren't supposed to matter. You're not supposed to love them. You're supposed to love your Savior first. Keep your eyes on him, and all the things that you have need of, he will add to you. So pray about it. Again, we really need your support. This is not a joke, and we're not getting rich. You know, I live in a house that we paid for with back taxes, and so I'm not living in a mansion on the hill, and I drive a used car that I paid $800 for. I don't drive a new car. I drive what the Father has provided for us. Anyway, you just all be blessed. We must remember, though, really, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for our repentant sins. You know, he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said that was the only sign given to a wicked and perverse generation. 3 days and three nights. Not a day and a half and a little while or so on and so forth. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, yet Father Yahweh, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you, the Father, bless us and keeps us, and that your face shines upon us and is gracious to us and gives us peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.